Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun. It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I don't know if Tony got a lot of sleep last night or if he's just in a really good mood because he's dancing around in the camera. He's having a good old time there at Dodger Stadium.
It's a three-day weekend.
Oh, yeah.
But not for Tony.
Oh!
you know, the truth is that's not. But I do have my own three-day away from you guys here coming up, though. So how about that?
That's right. That's what I was referring to.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I thought you were talking about me having to work.
Anything
on
getting away from Scraby for 3 days is a celebration, my friends.
That's right.
Celebration.
Okay, fine, whatever. City Connect uniforms, we'll talk about those in a second. We're going to talk about Nick Kyrgios of the
Tennis World,
Wimbledon. He went back at the media yesterday.
Oh, is this my man from, what is he, from Australia?
Australia, yeah.
Yeah,
okay. He had a pretty good one. Then Zion Williamson signed a massive extension, and everybody's kind of freaking out, including myself. And Katie and Kyrie want to do something together. And we'll tell you about that in just a second. But we'll get right into it.
Number five.
And we will talk about the uniforms of the day. I've never seen so many push notifications of different publications putting out these uniforms. ESPN just popped up with one right now. Anyway, they are here, and there's a whole lot of controversy. Although we like them, some fans like them, others don't. At least from my interactions, I see that. Chris, what are your official thoughts on the long-awaited Padres City Connect uniforms?
Well, first of all, I mean, the fact that some people like it and some people don't like it, that's the whole very definition, basically, of a uniform, right? The fact is people care. And I think that in and of itself makes it a win for the Padres. I mean, you know, people seem to have an opinion one way or another. I personally like them. I mean, if you read, you know, what the Padres sent out, and not everybody got to see that, but, you know, they inspired by the, well, I'll read it here, the vibrant landscapes in San Diego and the Baja California communities. I think they hit that on the head. I mean, I don't know what the official colors of that would be, but I think this is pretty close. And I think they're kind of fun. I mean, they're going to wear them once a week at home. And if you don't like it, you're a hater. And if you like it, you're, you know, fashionista. What can I tell you?
A fashion coordinator on this show.
The worst thing that you could have gotten was no response at all if you're the Padres, right? You put these out and nobody seems to care. Everybody seems to have an opinion on these uniforms, and so I think that's what you're going for.
Tony, what is your official stance?
Listen, I think when you look at the uniforms, I like the uniforms first. I like the uniforms a lot. I didn't think when I like initially saw it a few weeks back, I was like, I didn't know how to feel about them. But then the more I saw them, the more I saw them on the players, the more I was like, yeah, this is the right uniform. The worst thing that could happen is that you do something that, and by the way, what makes the Padres unique, and especially in this City Connect thing, is They just recently changed uniforms. So there's really no identity attached. Like, so you couldn't do a uniform that had the same color schemes like we've seen the White Sox and the Dodgers and the Cubs, who have all pretty much wore the same colors their entire existence, right? And so I like where they went. I like that they went a different direction. And I think the Padres know that there's going to be a segment of their fan base that hate their uniforms, and there's going to be a segment of folks that love the uniforms. And, you know, that's okay. I think that's the whole, as Chris said, that is the idea behind creating something that's a little bit different and in a uniform.
Yeah, I mean, all day on Twitter, I've been seeing people are buying them. People are definitely buying them.
I have to say, I'm surprised. I didn't think as many people would like them as it seems like they do.
Yeah. Yeah, and we thank the Padres for giving us a jersey, a City Connect jersey with our names on it. That's pretty awesome. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, and there's some pictures up on Twitter and Instagram at 973TheFanSD and at Matt Scraby, at ChrisDelloSD, all that good stuff.
It was a very nice touch and very much appreciated.
Yes, appreciated. So you can get your jerseys now. They're
and they have
flying
the
off the show.
They have the number 22 on them, which is for the year 2022, but...
Thanks, Chris.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Is that not a number that Tony Gwynn Jr. wore at one time in his career?
I'm not going to lie, guys. I'm not going to lie. When I opened up my box this morning, I was like, oh, pretty sweet. They hooked me up with my number. And then I saw, everybody with 22s on them. I was like, oh. Well, at least I can say that it was a number I wore. Yeah, that was the first number I wore in Milwaukee.
Yeah, see?
All right. I didn't know that.
That's where I was going with that, Scraby, before
Thanks.
You get the put down in
I was like,
that I'm just telling everybody the year.
I was like, Chris, you know that we're not stupid, right? We know that 22 is the year.
I know the listeners aren't stupid.
Are you calling me stupid?
Number four.
Leave it at that. Some people think this next guy is pretty stupid, but Wimbledon is underway, and I can't tell if I want this guy to win more just to see what he says, or he needs to be ousted so he doesn't have a platform. Australian Nick Kyrgios, I've been using the word prickly as of late, and I think Nick Kyrgios is not only prickly. I looked up this word, guys. He's just downright cantankerous.
Wow. Very
yes.
good for you.
Hey.
Yeah.
That's a four-syllable word for you.
He said I looked this word, too.
That's a $5 word for Scraby.
I Googled prickly thesaurus.
I came up with that.
Cantankerous right. was the word that jumped out at me. So in the last
well,
couple
what
days,
makes him cantankerous, Scraby?
Yeah. Chris, case in point. In the last couple days, he has spit in the direction of a fan for heckling him. He went after a female line judge and called her a snitch after finding out she told the chair umpire something he said on the court. And, I mean, these are just examples of what I'm talking about. And here is some audio. It's post-match press conference audio, and he hates the media. The media hates him. And here he is.
Yeah, just super pleased with my performance today. I mean, I played really well from every aspect of my game. So I'm really interested to see what you have today for me. So I was pretty disappointed in my performance in the first round, and then, you know, obviously the media's disrespect and just everything is just kind of a reminder to put you all back in your place of performance from today.
Aha!
You know, you made finals of Queens, top 30 in the world, seeded. And it's just it's a gentle reminder. Why would you be asking me a question about 2 days ago? Is it because you have no story for today?
No, oh no, boy. I'm asking you because there's a current investigation.
Philip Krajanovic today. You don't want to know how I played today.
That's cantankerous. That's prickly.
Just a little bit more.
Because there's an investigation.
Okay.
Are and
you
I was
investigating
just wondering
it personally?
No.
So why do you care?
Because it involves you.
Okay.
And
I'm still in Wimbledon right now.
Exactly.
So let's talk about that.
All right, that's the cantankerous Nick Kyrgios. You know what he reminds me of a little bit? Of Brooks Koepka when they're like, hey, Brooks, what do you think about the human rights violation? He's like, I'm just here to play golf, man. Can we just talk about golf? So, Tony, you're up first on this one. What do you think of the Nick Kyrgios, quote-unquote, style?
It can be a bit cantankerous at times. I mean, listen... I just out of curiosity, what investigation was the lady talking about?
I can't tell you.
I couldn't tell you either.
Not sure. Probably something into him misbehaving more than anything, because he's very much known for this, not just at Wimbledon, but all the time. So
yeah, no, he can be a bit prickly, as Scraby also said. Do I? What was the question? Do I like the style?
No. What do you think of his quote unquote style?
I mean, it's a little abrasive at times, and I mean, listen to. I guess you would like to see him it not affect other people. I guess, but I can be. I mean, that, he is who he is. I mean, that's kind of his. That seems like it's personality. So, he seems a little bit. I don't know. He almost has like two personalities because I've seen this guy like calm and like
a good tennis player,
not like a good tennis player and not having these outbursts. But he tends to when it seems like when the competition is at its like brightest. He has these moments where he's like cantankerous, as you said earlier as well.
Yes.
I don't know if I mean, if do I like the style? What do I think of it? I think that's just him at this point. He's showing us who he is. This is who he is. How do I feel about it? I don't really have an opinion on how I feel.
I quickly googled Kyrgios investigation, and it's all coming up about how he spit at the fan, and there's a lot of other things that came up as well. So, Chris, what do you think?
Well, my thought is that it's just not necessary. I mean, you can be prickly, you can be cantankerous, but you don't have to be rude. And I think there's a difference. A lot of guys take exception with some of the questions that they get asked by media, especially at Wimbledon, because they have the tabloid reporters over there. And a lot of times they're trying to pry into your personal life and ask you things that really aren't tennis. And I think you have every right to be, you know, a little standoffish towards some of those questions and demand better questions. But in trying to do that, Kyrgios is being just flat out rude and disrespectful to other people. And I just don't see any reason for him to need to be that way. Now, spitting at a fan is obviously totally uncalled for. So, you know, look, John McEnroe was the original bad boy at Wimbledon. But, you know, and he fought with the reporters back and forth and fought with chair umpires and had a classic career doing it. But I never felt that John McEnroe was honestly being disrespectful. I honestly think John McEnroe was trying to enact change and actually get people to ask more intelligent questions and also get officials to make better calls in tennis, because back in those days they didn't really have very good referees and lines people. So Kyrgios is kind of off-putting to me in the long run. He's a pretty good tennis player, and probably if he would just get his head on straight, he could probably be even better than he is.
I want to change my answer to what Chris said. I think he said it far better than I did. I obviously the spitting thing is the disrespectful part. I didn't necessarily have an issue with his back and forth with the reporter, especially after what Chris just said, what he said, because I didn't think he was being disrespectful to her. He was just trying to get her to ask questions about
tennis,
that particular match. So I didn't have a problem with that. But the spitting part, I mean, come on, man. These are human beings you're dealing with. You shouldn't be spitting at anybody.
All right. The cantankerous one.
Yeah. Number three.
Zion Williamson, the Pelicans, they have already signed him to a 5-year, $231 million rookie max contract extension per Shams Charania. This is just widely reported at this point. He's going to be averaging just over $38 million per season when the contract hits after this coming season. And we all know he was selected number one overall in 2019. He's played in 85 games and missed another 141 games in his NBA career. He turns 22 years old next Wednesday, July 6th. And I always forget how young he is. But, Chris, you're up first here. Is this a bad move for the Pelicans?
How much is he getting paid if he plays? The same.
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't know if there was a trick question.
I didn't know there were separate. If there were separate contracts
if he doesn't play
and if he played. No, I'm joking. Obviously, it could be a bad contract. Obviously, I mean they're taking a risk. You know, I would put some sort of weight clause in there. I don't know if that's something that he'd be ecstatic about, and maybe there is something in there. But I would want this guy to get in shape. I would make sure that that's part of, you know, what I'm offering. The 81 games he's played in the NBA have been pretty impressive. You know, I mean, he's shown that he can play. So I don't think this is a wildly stupid move. It's a risk. It's always going to be a risk when you're paying somebody that kind of money, but a little more so in Zion Williamson's case. You know, the Pelicans, if they're ever going to go anywhere, though, they've got to get themselves a player that they can grow you know, with and build around. So
stupidly, I'm asking, is CJ McCollum on the Pelicans still?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, look, they came on at the end of last season without Zion Williamson. So this might be a bit of a final piece that helps move them up in the Western Conference. I don't think this is a horrible move, but I hope that there are some stipulations in there.
All right, Tony, what do you think? Is this a bad move for the Pelicans?
No, I don't think so. Bad is not the right word. I think the right word is risky. Risky is, yes, it's definitely a risky deal. But there are plenty of examples of guys who were injured early in their career and have gone on to not really and still be great players. Steph Curry comes to mind. He had the ankle issues where people were saying his career was in jeopardy, and look what he turned into be. So I think, and plus the alternative is, you don't sign him to a long-term extension. He gets healthy, and he has a chance to taste free agency. And then when you're a city like New Orleans that has had a bad track record of being able to keep guys, I think that risk for you becomes a little more risky than the actual contract to the player.
All right. Number two. According to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, KD and Kyrie Irving aren't done playing on the same team. Woj is saying that KD and Kyrie want to continue to be teammates, but they don't want to do it in Brooklyn. They would like to be traded together, or at least that is what Woj is claiming. Chris just left.
How much room is there on the Phoenix Suns roster? My goodness.
The Phoenix Suns just signed Devin Booker, and didn't they say, Tony, yesterday they weren't interested?
That was what the Bleacher Report had said, that a source said that they weren't making a deal for Kevin Durant. Brooklyn wasn't, Devin Booker in a package with it coming the other way.
Anyway, I don't think that's going to happen to begin with. Tony, has the... I don't know. I've asked this question so many different times in different ways, but has the NBA lost control of the transfer portal that seems to be in place at the NBA level right now?
No, it's not a transfer portal because there's actual free agents.
Trade portal?
So I think... No, I think it's up to the teams to say no. I mean, have they lost control? If they have, it's their own doing. You know, you can say no. Like, KD is under contract for 4 years. They do not have to move him. And if they decide to move him, that is their decision. There is nothing forcing them to make this particular move. It'd be different if KD was in the last year of his deal and you wanted to get something for him because you're afraid he's going to walk away at free agency. It's not the case. So, you know, and this, I don't think this is a case where he would be like, I'm going to sit out. This guy actually likes basketball. So I don't see him doing that. So, no, I don't think, if you insinuate that they've lost control, that means that they are in, they're not captaining anything about the situation. They have the cards in their hand. It's how they choose to play them from this point forward. If they feel like they don't want to deal with the situation, they're tired of the headache that comes with having both of them, then maybe it's in their best interest. But it isn't because they've lost control of the situation. Teams just have to be willing to take what's going to come on the other end of it. They're just not. And so they take the easy way out a lot of times.
Chris,
it seems like the inmates are running the asylum to a certain extent, so I get where you're coming with the question. But the way things are now is a whole lot better than the way it was 3-4 decades ago, not just in the NBA, but in sports, professional sports in general. There actually was a time when guys were drafted to a baseball team and had no recourse of any kind to go anywhere else and play. I mean, think about that. Think about, no matter what it is you do in your job, being drafted, albeit being paid a pretty good amount of money, but being told you are going to live your life in Green Bay and do your job in Green Bay. And after you were there for 4 or 5 years, you couldn't get out of Green Bay even if you wanted to. So sports has come a long way. The athletes, by way of negotiations and working out deals with the leagues that they play in, have now the freedom to go and play pretty much wherever they want. And I agree with Tony. It's up to the teams to build good teams around these guys and make them want to stay. And if they don't want to stay, I like the fact that they have the right to go. Number
one. So Sean McVay was on a podcast recently called Open Mic. And for some reason, he still is being asked about this whole Cabo trip that he took with when it came down that Matthew Stafford was going to be traded to the Rams. He's very famous. He was in Cabo, and everything went crazy for him. But everybody was also talking about how they kind of left Jared Goff out hanging out to dry with not knowing what was going on. So here's what he said. He said, the biggest thing I regret, not being able to sit down, look Goff in the eye, and be able to communicate kind of where we are, what we're going to try to do moving forward. If I had to do it over again, what I would do is, before I had even gone to Cabo, when there was a possibility of Matthew Stafford's availability, if there's other quarterbacks available, that would be something that we would explore. You sit down with him, you look him in the eye, you tell him that instead of calling him and setting up a meeting where that was my intention when I got back from Cabo. He said he noted also the trade materialized in 24 to 36 hours rather than the week-long span. So anyway, Chris.
Yes.
Too little too late from Sean McVay?
No, I don't think so. And I'm always critical of Sean McVay. I mean, he's one of the guys I like to, you know, take shots at. But I think in this case, assuming, you know, what he says is the way it went down, sometimes you can't control every single thing. I'm not 100% behind everything he said, because he did seem to give a little bit of a good riddance to Jared Goff and did seem to make it seem like Matthew Stafford was the final piece to the puzzle and that, you know, now they were going to be able to win some games. And that seemed to be some rather off-putting comments in the direction of Jared Goff. However, now that the Rams have won the Super Bowl, Sean McVay has basically been proven correct.
Yep.
Matthew Stafford was the final piece. He was the player that put them over the top.
Good point.
And they were able to get and go where they wanted to go because of that trade. So I can't really blame Sean McVay. You can't. Trades are always going to hurt somebody's feelings. Tony can speak to this a lot better than I can. He and lots of his friends have been traded, and I never have. But you can't always, you know, I don't think, at least, you know, get the kind of audience with the player that you'd like, you know, when a deal is being made. And so, you know, Sean McVay's trying to apologize now. I don't think it's too little too late.
All right, Tony, too little too late?
Yeah, no, I don't think he needs to apologize, quite frankly. It's I agree 100% what Chris said in terms of ultimately the deal he made was the last piece. Like, they won. They literally won the whole thing. And so I don't have a problem with him acknowledging that maybe if he had it to do over, he would do it a little bit differently. I think that's cool of him. But I think ultimately he was right. And so, yeah, there's that, what Chris said.
Yeah, there's that. I just hate the Rams so much.
Well, of course you do, because you're a 49er fan and the Rams are the champs.
Too little too late?
Oh, stop it. Stop being such a
hater.
Wannabe.
A wannabe?
Yeah,
what is that?
What's a wannabe? Exactly.
You're a 49er fan and you want to be champions, but you're not. So you're upset at the people
that
are.
That's tough to swallow right there.
I know, coming from a Dolphin fan, that's even worse.
Well, you don't hear me, you know, being pissy about the Rams.
Okay. Sean Manaea was on the show earlier today. We're going to hear from him in the final hour. We're also going to be previewing this game tonight between the Padres and the Dodgers, so stick around. Chris and I will probably end up fighting our way out of the week because it's a little too late, too late, too little, too late. Never mind. What was that?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.